I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad city, broken into bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad attitudes, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia right across the river and through the woods from where Granny liked to hit that 5-foot graphics. As long as she's got a bottle of wine to keep her from getting cotton mouth in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion check it up should do. But all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be check out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High. And we're watching, we got a lot of stress. We got a lot of stress tonight watching the Islanders in the third period up 2-0. Carver High has converted me for the remainder of the playoffs into an Islander fan because he said, you hate the Capitals, you hate the Flyers, you're from New York, your team, Penguins, suck. I mean, are you going to support me or not? And then I said I would, and when I said I'd root for the Islanders, I had a blood vessel pop in my lip. Look at the size of this thing on the side of my lip. I mean, it is just huge. It looks like I have some kind of, you know, insert Rhea here. I have like some action going. It's not a cold sore. It's not a zit. It's a blood burst. I have like a sunburst. You remember Sunkist? Wasn't that the one you chew and it gets stuck in your teeth? I got a sunburst, blood burst in my lip. So that'll look great on TV tomorrow. So anyway, they're up 2-0 over the Capitals with just under 12 minutes to go. Bevilier, I believe, has both goals in this game. That only took him two series to get off his schneid. He's a great goal scorer. He finally started busting it out tonight. So good for him. I've always told you on the show, on Coast to Coast and Farrell on the Bench, that Bevilier, Nelson, and Bailey are incredible. When I come back, I'm going to talk bad about Danny Green and White Boy Caruso of the Lakers. They're both ass.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all on a bench, so the Lakers are killing the Blazers tonight. They're up 17 at the half. Davis with 21 and 8. LeBron 10, 3, and 4. McGee's got 6 and 3 boards. Pope's got 2 threes. He's got 6 points. Kuzma's got 5 points. Howard's got 4. Morris, 2. So I do this sided with Scott Kaplan on 1090 in San Diego, right? I know you've heard of his sided app. Anyway, the question I put on there tonight was, who's worse, Danny Green or Caruso? Honestly, like, so I've said this on Coast to Coast and on this show, right, where I've talked about this, Carver. I know I've talked about this with you, that Danny Green, he used to be good, right? Do you remember when he was good, like in San Antonio and Toronto? Do you remember those days?
I do remember. Hit a lot of big shots.
But do you remember in the finals of the Raptors championship, in that run, right? He was terrible until like the last game. Do you remember?
He had
like
one good game. He had one really good game in the finals, and that was it against the Warriors. The rest of the series, he was awful.
Right. The whole series, he was landfill trash. Right. And then so like now, and then he goes to the Lakers. Right. And what I notice about his game, this is just me, I'm just being honest. Now, I'm sure and know that I qualify it by saying that the guy can, he can have a good night. He can have, frankly, a couple good nights. Right. He can have a couple good nights. And but nowadays I say he has a couple good nights every 7 to 10 games, right? So that means if you know you do the math for me, let's say he has one good game a week. Is that fair? He has two good games every 10 days. I'll give you that at best. So let's say they played a game every 10 days, just hypothetically, right? Let's just make it a 10 game window. He has two good games. That means for me, his shot is ass for 8 games, right? Now, tonight, he came out and he has literally laid the foundation for my new master suite over my house with bricks. He came out and put so many bricks up that I literally have a brand new master suite over my garage. He literally has become Danny Mason, is what happened. And I got to tell you, while I'm at it, your boy, White Man Can't Jump Caruso, like his game is, he should be playing with me with the Mawa boys in the morning at 6:45. Because he's got no game when it comes to playing against good players. Here's what he does. And tell me I'm wrong and I'll shut up. He has good games when they play the Kings or they play, you know, the Timberwolves, or they play the Wizards, or they play the Hawks, or they play any, you know, inject any bad team, not Charlotte. If they, you know, all the teams that were in the lottery, Caruso to have a big game against the Knicks, right? And like, I'm not even wrong. When he plays against good teams, if he plays, let's say, the Rockets, in my opinion, they're a good team. If he plays the Blazers, in my opinion, they're a good team. If he plays, you know, the Clippers, forget it. I mean, against the Clippers, I wouldn't even let him on the floor if I were Vogel. Did you see when Vogel pulled him out, he shot 2 bricks and had 3 fouls in like 10 minutes. He was over 2 with 3 fouls. And then when he came out of the game, Vogel yanked him out because he had to. But then he went out swinging low fives with the coaches, Kidd and Vogel. He's like the mad low five, the guy that's mad. He's like, because everybody, you know, high fives when the players come out of the game. The whole team high fives the guy, right? Meanwhile, if I'm on the team, I'm the guy that plays going, bro, don't touch me. You're bad luck. Just don't even come near me. Social distance. You suck. You got no J. You're as white as ever. Don't come near me and don't touch my teammates or my coaches. Just stop. Go get a icy or something. Do they still make ICs, Carver High?
I think that they do. I gave one to Olivia a couple weekends ago.
Like where do they make those? At the 7-Eleven?
That's like a Slurpee. You're talking about. Yeah, ICs like a pop, you know, like a freezer pop, you know, you get it out of the freezer.
That's what I'm talking about. That's his jumper. It's an icy. Listen, I played today for 90 minutes. I hit at least 15 threes. I'm 55 years old, and I'm hitting NBA range threes, 15 of them. Documented. No questions asked. I've had this argument with Mafia. He can't even argue it. Mafia hates hearing about me talking about basketball, about my game. That's because I score so much, it makes him sick to his stomach. Like, know that. He gets mad because all I do is score. Drives him nuts. He gets even worse when I talk about it. But I shoot better than Caruso if I were on morphine. Honestly. I mean, I put up unsighted. Who's worse, Green or Caruso? What I really wanted to put up was, who shoots better, my wife, my grandmother, my mother, or my daughter, than Danny Green and Caruso? I didn't have enough space unsighted to do that. So I'm going to ask on the audience tonight in Southern California on 1090, and like, you know, we're on everywhere in San Diego, LA. I mean, just be honest for once in your life. Quit getting on your knees like a porn star for the Lakers and just admit that they both suck and they got to go. You got to get rid of those two on the team. That's the problem. They need more guys that can score like Kuzma. Even Pope I can take, because he hit a couple of threes in the game. He was 0 for 9 the other night in game one. Tonight he came out, hit his first two. Now, I like that. Shoot or shoot. And if you make it, you'd start daggering, right? He came out and hit. Green's 0 for 5. Caruso's 0 for 2. Now, look, that's 0 for 7. Now, they could have a great game the rest of the night and both finish with 16 or 12 or something like that, double-double. I don't care. I don't care if they have a great game the rest of the way, because I think they still suck, okay? You could have a great game in the second half and literally hit 9 straight threes, and I have no faith whatsoever in Green or Caruso on that team. Somebody's got to just say it, because no one ever does. They're high-fiving them coming off the floor. Bro, don't touch me with your broke-ass jumper. Listen, honestly, like when I play with dudes and they start missing, chunking, bricking, shooting hammer in the rim, and they can't hit the broadside of a barn, you know what I say to them? Stop shooting. Start rebounding. You know, pass the ball. You suck. Okay? Give it to people that can put it in the hole. Now, these dudes I play with in the mornings, they can't stand me. They don't like me because they're all really good players, right? And I score at will with the best of them. So they don't want some other guy coming in and stealing their shine. They don't want some guy that can hit threes and floating threes and that can drive and finish at the rim and has all kinds of baseline poppers and moves and reverse spins off the glass kisses. They hate me because I produce. I score. I'm not afraid to go to the hole against dudes that don't want me to even get the ball. They don't even want to pass me the ball. But at some point, when you score 50 a game, you might as well just give me the pill, because I put it in. I'm George Gervin. And when I watch Danny Green play basketball and Caruso, it makes me sick to my stomach that they're making millions because they both suck so bad. I mean, they do. You can't even argue it anymore. You can't even argue with me anymore about it. And then they'll have a good game and everybody will get off of them, right? I'm done with that one good game every 2 weeks BS. Inject swearing here. Okay? One good game every 2 weeks. I have a good game every time I play. I make sure of it. And I don't have that problem. If I'm not hitting, I just rebound. Because I hit. I don't have that problem. I hit too many shots. I hit from everywhere. I hit from my bed at night when I'm sleeping. 30-footer while I'm sleeping, snoring with just the most kicking breath you've ever heard. I have an exploded blood vessel in my lip. Can you see it on YouTube? Listen, I'm old, I'm ugly, I got a big gut, but I got game, son. 6'4", 220, son. I'm no joke. Move me out of the paint.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, what a thrill to have Nick Canepa on the bench tonight in San Diego. This guy is a living legend and one of the great institutions in sports writing. Fantastic columnist that's been at the San Diego Union-Trib for 40 years, unless I'm mistaken. I mean, I've been doing this show, basically, I've been on the radio for 35 years, and I'm an old fart, but I got to tell you, this guy knows how to get it done out in Southern California like no other. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's 48 years.
Wow. I mean, you got me schooled right there.
The paper and but I just saw history being made, so
that's right.
You could still see something new every day in this business.
Can you believe that four games in a row, Hosmer hit a grand slam tonight, and the Padres, it started with Tatis on the 3-0 pitch, then Will Myers, then Machado, and now Hosmer into deep right. Can you even believe, I said today on the TV show that I do on Sports Grid that this team, to me, the Padres, look like they're going to, in my opinion, make one of those 50 playoff spots in baseball this summer.
Well, right now it looks like everything depends on their bullpen, which was supposed to be their strength, and it hasn't been. It's been exactly the opposite. They're fun to watch anyway, I'll say that. They are fun to watch.
So, first of all, take me back. I can't even fathom the run you've had there. It's very impressive. It's something to really be proud of, obviously. I'm a huge fan of newspapers, and I went to journalism school at Ernie Pyle at Indiana University. My dad told me, if learn how to write before you open up that big mouth of yours. And so... I got to ask you, you're a San Diego State guy, and when did your dream and passion for sports writing start? Was it at San Diego State, or was it when you were a kid that you wanted to do this?
I think it probably started in high school. I really didn't know what else I could do, and I still don't. I don't think I could do anything else. Especially if you involved manual labor, there'd be no chance of it. But I was on the paper in high school, and it just kind of carried on from that. And I started on the paper, and after graduation, and so a little time in the Army as a copy kid, and just worked my way up from there. In 1971.
What did you think in the last several years as you've seen this business, frankly, deteriorate and be decimated by, obviously technology and smartphones and, blogs and internet and everything else. And then, the the great newspapers of this country started folding. It had to upset you. I know it upset me. It drives me nuts. I still get two papers delivered to my driveway every day of the week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it just kind of went off the cliff. You know, there was almost no warning to what happened. I mean, they're going along great for a couple hundred years, and then all of a sudden the bottom drops out. But it's all part of the dumbing down of America. You know, people don't read newspapers anymore. If people are getting their news off social media, it's not a good thing, and that's what's happening.
You're right. It's embarrassing. It really is, because that's where people are getting their news. And that's why, and I agree with you, the dumbing down, that's why there's, frankly, so many stupid people. I remember there's nothing like, so I was a paper boy, right? I delivered the Chicago Tribune when I was a kid. I used to have like 120 papers. I used to drag a sled through the snow with a giant stack of Chicago Tribunes. And I mean to tell you, you know as well as I do, that Sunday Chicago Tribune may be one of the fattest newspapers in the world. And I mean, that'll make a man out of you hauling those things around. But what really did it for me was reading it. I just thought there was nothing like reading the great newspapers. Like on a Sunday, it was the greatest thing ever. But I still do it. And I think that all these guys that have ditched newspapers and they're writing on these websites and everything else, it really kind of upsets me. And I frankly don't really follow them and trail them. You know what I mean? I didn't go with them across the river to the other side. I stayed on the newspaper side, and I still crave the newspaper. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm sure I'm a rare breed.
Well, I've been getting a newspaper. I've been reading the paper since I was a kid. So I still get the newspaper every morning, and I could get it online if I want. I mean, we put the whole paper online, and if that's what you want, fine. But to me, I deliver newspapers too, and I remember basic training at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where you didn't have any. It's in the spring, it's during baseball season. We had no idea what's going on. I mean, you're completely shut off from the outside world for 2 months or whatever. And once you get a little bit of a break on Sundays, we'd go down to the PX and or whatever, and we would buy about 10 Sunday papers. I mean, we'd come back with stacks of papers because we had no idea what was going on. It's a shame what has happened. I mean, it really is, because anybody who ever worked for a newspaper will tell you a newspaper is a miracle. I mean, it is. It's a daily miracle. I've been in this business 48 years. We have published every single day. You know, floods, no matter earthquakes, no matter, we have published every day. And I tell you, that's an amazing thing.
How does it happen? Like, who is behind that great paper? You know, it's funny. I lived out there for 10 years in Huntington Beach, right? And I did my show in Culver City, and you know, I love it out there. I go out all the time. I go to San Diego every year, and I love surfing, and my family, we always go there, and I just think it's fantastic. So I've read the paper for a long time, but I never really investigated it, like who owns it, and is it family owned? Is it company owned? How did they keep that paper above water in the crisis of all the papers going under?
Well, it still managed to make money somehow all the way through after the, I mean, the Copley family owned it forever, and they probably waited too long to sell it. And now it's owned by the same gentleman who owns the Los Angeles Times. So we are, and we're the only two. Those are the only two papers he owns.
And those are big papers.
So, as far as I know, we're on the only two biggest papers in Southern California he owns. So that, you know, there's a lot of people who live in this area.
What did your
right now? We're still publishing.
That's fantastic. What is your in about 84 you started being more of a columnist as opposed to everything you did prior to that. Is that about right?
Right. I covered high schools, then I covered San Diego State. And then I covered the Clippers for one fateful year, 81-82. And then I covered the Chargers for 2 years, and I got the column in 1984.
And that's just, you've been the king of that ever since. So what was the devastation for you in terms of, like, it had to bother you? I'm just guessing that when the Chargers left, and I know that, I don't know your relationship with the Spanoses, but I know a lot of people down there that don't like them. And I know that they left, and I don't think, frankly, they should have ever left San Diego. I think it was a huge mistake. I know they're going to play in that multi-billion dollar stadium now and probably end up making all kinds of money in the future, but I still think it was a bad idea. Carver High, how much time do I got left? Okay, so respectfully, I have about 90 seconds, and then we'll come back and talk more about it. Tell me what you thought when they left. Did that upset you?
Well, it's certainly one of the worst things that happened professionally. It's probably the worst thing that happened in my career. I mean, we lost an NFL franchise. I mean, that's not only that, an NFL franchise had been here for 50 years. You know, the other franchises that have moved around haven't been around for 50 years in the same spot. You know, that was my team growing up. I grew up a Charger fan. It was devastating, and I can't tell you how many times I've written that they're making an enormous mistake, which they did. They're a laughing stock. They're like they don't even sell their memorabilia or any of their clothing in an airport. I mean, they're a joke up there. Nobody cares about them. They couldn't sell out a 27,000 seat high school stadium in Carson. I mean, every game they played, and I think it's going to be every game they continue to play, is going to be a road game. I mean, you know, Southern California is a destination area, so fans who follow the Green Bay Packers or the Bears or from those places, they see a game in Southern California, they circle it on their calendar. You know, so they come out here by the thousands. So San Diego Chargers are playing, well, the Los Angeles Chargers, if that's what you want to call them, are playing road games every week.
Yeah, I would never call them the Los Angeles Chargers. That'd be sacrilege. I can't do it. I'm going to come back and talk more with Nick. This is fascinating stuff on the bench. All right, Nick Canepa, legendary columnist with the San Diego Union Tribune. I'm fascinated by his stories. Nick, so tell me how it happened, like how it evolved, where Spanos finally, I just don't understand how they couldn't figure out a way to build a new stadium at Qualcomm or somewhere else down there with all the money they got down there. I just don't believe it. And then how did he finagle his way out of there and get to Los Angeles? I just couldn't even fathom that it happened. I know that you were all over it. What the hell happened?
Well, number one, it's easy to blame the Spanoses. They're the ones that own the team. They're the ones that moved. So, but it's the city's. This was all City Hall's fault. This in 2005, the Chargers wanted to build a new stadium, pay for the entire thing themselves, including cost overruns, you know, infrastructure, the whole thing. It was going to be a new stadium. And they wanted 60 acres of the property. The property's, they're not going to put other businesses on it too. And they wanted 60 acres of land of 166 acre piece of property.
Right.
And they were paying for all of it. The city was going to pay for nothing, zero. And and they ran scared and they didn't do it. So that came about 10 more years of them trying to get something done. The last one being a combination stadium convention center expansion downtown, which was going to be paid by TOT tax. In other words, people coming to San Diego, which millions do, were going to pay for it, like they're paying for it in Vegas. And like they're paying for it and a lot of other things. Well, that one was turned down too. So I wrote probably 20 years ago, I wrote that the team wasn't going to stay here forever because the stadium was a dump.
Right.
It is in awful shape. And the primary reason for that is because the city didn't take care of it. You know, it's like they were like slumlords. Well, you guys just got, sooner or later, really, when you think about it, you hate to see them leave, but I how much longer are they going to play there? It's awful.
Right.
Dean Spanos, the owner,
right,
was biggest mistake was not going to Vegas. I mean, he has a home in Vegas. I bet he's there at least once a week.
Really?
And instead, he went and became a renter up in Los Angeles. And, you know, Son of Al fell into it, going to Vegas. I mean, honestly, the stadium was awful. But they still had their fan base. And they did not leave the city because it wasn't, they didn't have a following. They left this city because of the stadium. That's absolutely the reason why.
Right, so I was at that Super Bowl in whatever it was, a 98 or whatever it was with the Denver and Green Bay. I was there at Qualcomm. I mean, it was still solid then. It was still a nice stadium then, unless I'm crazy. I mean, you're talking about in 05 and then in 2015, it certainly at those two stages of this exodus. But back then, it was still a nice stadium. How did they get how did they end up convincing the city that they couldn't get them to do a deal where it would have cost the city nothing, but how were they able to get a deal to put Petco into the city? I've been to that stadium too to see the Padres play. It's a beautiful stadium. How did they convince them to do that, but they can't convince them to keep a team that was 10 times more popular than the Padres, the Chargers? They couldn't do a deal for them, but they did a deal for the baseball team?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, after the Super Bowl, the year they went to the Super Bowl, Alex Spanos, you know, who owned the team, asked the mayor to expand the stadium. Instead of asking for a new stadium, he asked for an expansion. So they got the expansion, which cost almost $100 million, which really... It wasn't done right. Parts of the stadium were sinking. I mean, you see that stadium from a blimp, and it's great, but insides are rotting in the stadium. It's like I say, they've just neglected it. It's awful. Excuse me. And so, you know, they had a deal with the city that had a ticket guarantee on it, and the city was so afraid of this ticket guarantee that they weren't going to sell out. And this was before they got really good, you know, after 2005. And they changed the lease, and they gave them an out. This team could have left every year in February after the season from, like, 2006 on. They gave them an out in the lease. There wasn't one before. So they give them a sweetheart lease. They basically weren't paying any rent at all, and with an out in it. And you know, once again, they tried. I mean, Dean Spanos spent millions of dollars trying to keep the team here. I'll give him credit for that. I mean, I hate the way he went about this, I just like to have the money that he paid Mark Fabiani during this whole thing. I mean, Mark Fabiani wasn't working for 10 cents. He spent millions. And finally, he just threw up his hands and gave up. And I'll tell you another thing. When John Moore's owned the Padres, if they didn't get that stadium built, which it looked like they weren't, because of the disturbers around here filing these nuisance lawsuits, the Padres were gone. The Padres weren't going to stay in Mission Valley. They weren't going to stay in that old stadium. If Petco didn't get built, they were leaving. So, you know, look at it any way you want. It's the city's fault. And fortunately, we got Petco built, or we wouldn't have anything here.
So did the...
Now San Diego State's building a new stadium on the old site. 35,000 seats, which is too small.
Thank God.
So, you know, so that's where we are. We're Mayberry by the sea.
Are the same people, I know they had to have some turnover, but are the same people running that city that have been making all these bad decisions all these years? Are they the same people running it now?
Well, we've had about 5 or 6 mayors. There's been all kinds of trouble since 2000. This is Mayor Faulkner's last year as mayor. Basically, I call them the ham and eggers. I'm sure they love them. That's what
the
I call
ham
them.
And eggers.
And that's what they are. It's just a bunch of small timers. That's what we are. And, you know, this is the eighth largest city in the country. It's a big city with just a small town attitude. And that's what we are. It's a great place. It's lovely. But, you know, what are you going to do? We are what we are.
Do they cover now that they're gone and they're in L.A. and they're sharing SoFi starting this season, allegedly? Do you still write about them and cover them in San Diego, or is that a taboo?
Yes. No, we still do. Tom Krasovic goes to all their home games, and we don't cover them like we used to, obviously. And I still write a report card after every game.
Right.
So, and there are a lot of people who still follow that team here. I guarantee you there are a lot more people here who follow them than do up there. But they don't make the trek up there.
Right.
You know, don't get many San Diegans going to Carson to a
except
to a,
Rivers
to
Rivers
a high
did it.
Stadium.
Rivers did it. Wasn't he driving up there in a van?
He had a special van so he could watch a film on the way up and back.
Right? How long is it, Nick? Is it
only a little bit more than...
Is it 2.5 hours?
What's that? Say that
How
again.
How long is it? 2.5 hours?
Oh no, it's. I bet. You know. I mean, the place. But don't forget the training facility was in Costa Mesa. I mean, you know the area.
Yeah.
Costa Mesa with no traffic is about an hour and a half max. Not even from San Diego. So Philip lived in the North County. I bet he was only traveling a little bit more than an hour each way.
Right.
Watching film in the van.
But now that stadium it's at least, but to SoFi, it's going to be 2 hours, 2.5 hours at least. I mean, from San Diego. So there's no fans going up there for those games.
Answer me this, because you lived in Los Angeles.
Right.
I'm sure you've been to the Forum in Hollywood Park.
Right.
And you know Inglewood. What's it going to be like with, say, the Rams? Because the Rams have a possibility of selling something out. This team does. Say 80,000 people go to a Rams game. What's it going to be like getting inside into Inglewood, which is all a neighborhood? It's entirely a neighborhood.
Right.
From the 405 freeway in. It's going to be a nightmare.
You'd have a better chance of dropping out of an airplane flying over LAX of getting into that neighborhood than driving into that neighborhood. It's going to be a living hell getting into that neighborhood. But, you know, it is what it is. Let me ask you, lastly, I got to run here in a second. How successful do you think the Padres can be with this team that they have? the rest of the way with, you know, Machado and Tatis and Paddock and all the kids they got. I like them. Do you like them?
Yeah, I like them. I think they're exciting. It's just one of those things. Can their pitching come through? You know, I know you're well aware of Tatis hitting that 3-0 pitch out. Which, I mean,
yeah,
they caused a furor. Well, right. But the Padres, with the way their bullpen's been, they can't score enough runs. Matter of fact, I think they're about to give up another one here. But anyway, I've been watching baseball since early 1950s. I have never heard of that unwritten rule that you don't swing at a 3-0 pitch with a big lead.
Me neither.
I've never heard of it.
Neither. Me neither.
I don't know where that one. I was flabbergasted. You're going to tell a kid not to swing at a lollipop?
I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is. Listen, Nick, I got to get you back on the show. You're unbelievable. I love talking to you. Your stories are great. You're an incredible writer. Keep doing your thing. Your career is so impressive. It's something to be really proud of. You're an institution in San Diego. We'd love to get you back on. I'd love to get you on the TV show as well, and then get you back on the radio show as well. And obviously, you know, we're on 1090 now in Southern California and San Diego. So I'm really excited to get to tell you a little bit. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Well, anytime. I appreciate your kind words. Good luck to you.
Thanks, brother. My man, Nick Canepa, legendary writer at the San Diego Union Tribune. How about that guy, Carver High? An institution. He's a
outstanding
titan. I love that action. By the way, just so we can get this out of the way, the Lakers are blowing out the Blazers tonight. And they're going to cover the 6.5 as well. So I hit the Bucks laying the big 13. I'm going to hit the Lakers laying the 6.5. Going to the fourth, up 88-67 Blazers.
Yeah, it's been frozen.
Yo, my boy Joey Blunts is listening up near Corona in Riverside. Just west of Riverside, out in the middle of nowhere and near Lipstick City. I used to go out that way when I drove out into the desert to get my weed. Wait, are we on the air? Check, check, 1-2, Riverside. Check, 1-2, Riverside. Check, 1-2. Anyway, I was a kid. Give me a break. Back when I think my wife, 34C, at the time was in a Harley, a Hells Angels group. Is that like a group or a gang? She was a Hells Angel, and I think they were making meth out in the hills. I'm just kidding. I'm not really. I have no idea what was going on then at that point. I really don't. I do know that I have the Lakers tonight -6.5. Check out. Ooh. They're up 30. Can you believe that? What they're doing to the Blazers tonight? Carver High, seriously.
I thought that the Lakers would obviously come back out tonight and give you big effort after losing game one, but I didn't think that they would absolutely whack them. So, but this is the kind of thing that, you know, the Blazers got to be careful because they won game one, they had a great run, all that. You get whacked like this, be careful. It could snowball. It could definitely snowball against a good team like the Lakers. And I could see a gentleman sweep. I could see that being the only game that Portland wins.
Yeah, like, do you think that it's possible that it is going to get out of control now that they or do you think they take this punch in the face and come out tomorrow morning with a shiner and say, let's go. We can still do this. Or do you think that they are just so sucker punched below the belt that they won't recover from this?
I didn't think that they could win the series to begin with, even with the win in game one. So this just kind of justifies what I thought. I think you'll see more games like this than you saw in game one.
How about this? The Timberwolves got the number one pick in the NBA lottery. We'll talk about that in hour two on Events.
Things at Zaxby's just got sensational. Because now you can experience their signature Asian sensation flavor three different ways. Get that sweet, tangy, citrusy, zesty fusion of flavor rolled up in a giant wrap, drizzled on a salad with an egg roll, of course, or tossed on their famous chicken fingers. Hey, flavor this good deserves its own private menu. Or should I say, Zenu. The Asian Zenzation lineup, available only at Zaxby's.
Who's got the sauce?